Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is a deeper look into collecting data with IBM Support Assistant and Isolight. Today's presenters are Susan Menke and Gregor Jukowski. Susan is a WBI L2 support engineer at IBM Mainz in Germany and active in IBM for over 5 years. She belongs to the WBI L2 support team, MEMA, and provides technical support for WebSphere adapters and WebSphere business integration adapters. Her expertise includes WebSphere process server, WebSphere message broker, WebSphere integration developer, and WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus. Susan holds a Master in Science in Quantitative Science, a Bachelor of Arts in Computational Linguistics, and a Diploma in Information Technology. Gregor is an advisory IT specialist who has been active within IBM for over 11 years. After finishing his studies in 2001, Gregor joined the IBM NLS Translation Tools and Technologies Department, where he worked as the developer for Lotus Domino databases, J2EE, and web applications. Since 2008, he has been part of the WBI L2 support team, focusing on product support for WebSphere Process Server and other products. Gregor holds a Diploma in Information Technology and a Bachelor of Science. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Susan and Gregor.
Thank you very much, Joseph. Welcome, everybody, to today's session. Today, we will look into how to collect data with the IBM Support Assistant Workbench and the IBM Support Assistant Lite. Joseph, could you please go to slide 2? Okay, so the first part will be our ISA Workbench introduction as a data collection tool, and the second part will be provided by Gregor on ISA Lite, and afterwards we will give you some time for questions and answering. Joseph, please move to slide 4. Among data collection, there is the Workbench is also free local software troubleshooting workbench, which has to resolve questions and problems with our IBM software products. It provides quick access to software support-related information along with serviceability tools for problem determination. You find that you can download it freely, and it has further capabilities as such as the log analyzer or Java diagnostics tools. Joseph, please move to slide 5. As I told, the workbench is the part where the most interaction is done. So is this your starting point where you can collect data but also have your analysis tools? And then, on the other hand, we have the portable collectors for various IBM products, which is our IBM Support Assistant Lite. Joseph, please move to slide 6. As you can see on the slide, our workbench is supported on Windows and Linux, and whereas ISA Lite needs only a GRE of 1.4.2 or higher, and can be used on several Unix systems as well as several Windows systems. Next slide, please. ISA doesn't only provide data collection maybe for WebSphere, but also across all our IBM software brands, which means Lotus for Lotus Domino, information management such as Cognos, Rational, Tivoli, and several others. Joseph, please move to slide 8. Coming to data collection, there are several ways how to collect data. So when you use the workbench, you collect your data locally on the same machine where you installed the workbench, meaning this is either Windows or Linux. On the other hand, you can collect your data via the portable collectors running on your application server, for example, which needs to be installed and run on this particular application server. Joseph, next slide, please. I just want to highlight now the procedure, how you can collect either workbench data collection. First of all, you create a case. A case is just a problem description for which you are collecting data and analyze the problem. This is not only, as you see, about collecting data. It is moreover a repository on all your information regarding a specific problem. This also means your analysis reports and further information. And this case allows you also to accumulate all your information to a specific problem, but also to separate different problems. Data connecting to a specific problem will be for case one, and data handling or about being about on another problem will be case two then. So after creating a case, you select the system from which you want to collect the data. So it's either locally from your easy workbench system or it's remote via the portable collectors. Then the third step is there's a list of collectors of the products installed. These products need to be installed as a product add-on, but this is fairly easy, but it will allow you to have many, many products integrated into your collectors and then to collect data from several products add-on at once. Because when you finish editing the collectors to a queue, then you collect the collect all button and it will collect all data which is initiated by the collectors added to the queue. Slide 10, please. In the screenshot, you see how this will look like. Point 1 on the right upper right corner is where you see you can select a case or an incident. Then on the left-hand side, you see the local data collections activated, so you have this specific screen. Later, my colleague Gregor will show you another screen, which is being shown when you select remote collection with the IBM Support Assistant Lights. So then, in the middle of the picture, you will see a list of installed product add-ons. And you see also the system collector, for example. But this system collector is also provided with the initial installation of the IBM Support Assistant Workbench because it collects general information on the system. And I will come later to the system collector and tell you what is being collected. And then on the right-hand side, again, you see the collector queue, where all of the collectors are being added. And then the fourth part is to click collect all, and then the collector status will show you how the process is going on. So next slide, please. Okay, here you see it is just being added to the queue. And you can also see in the screen the system where it's being collected from, the product, our system collector, and the problem. So, and then you have the collector status. And then I would like to give you a short introduction or give you a kind of impression what is being collected when you select a system collector, for example. Joseph, please move to slide 12. The outcome of this collection is an archive file, and which is then copied to your case, as I told you earlier, because this is now your problem-specific data. And all all passwords or key stores are being automatically masked and hidden by the collector scripts, which we run. So this is also maybe a very important point to note. And if you collect, for example, something for a general problem with the Web3 application server, you might think of you need to set trace strings to the collection scripts, and then it will be restarted. It proceeds without restarting the application server, which is pretty helpful here. And then you can also add additional trace strings, and you also can provide a description for the reproduction of the scenario. Then this file will contain profile configuration and several reports on the system. Joseph, please move to slide 13. So now coming to our system collector, you can see here it collects network information and executes several commands to collect this. So it runs, for example, netstart or ipconfig, and it further collects registry and installed software, and the commands issued are also on the slide there, which are different between Windows and Linux, of course. Joseph, please move to next slide. Among the registry and installed software and network information, we can also collect the system data and the user environment and also the software inventory. And all this helps to narrow down the cause of the problem and to identify where the cause of the problem might be. Then you have collected all the data, what to do now? So this is a very great thing, because then you are in your workbench, which is not only the data collection tool, but also provides several post-collection tools. Joseph, please move to slide 15. So among other tools, we have problem determination tools like a log analyzer with a symptom catalog, which simplifies to identify known issues, but also the Visual Configuration Explorer and a vast amount on Java diagnostic tools. And of course, if you see that further help is needed, you can easily send your archive file to IBM support. So now, please move to the next slide. If you experience any problems with the tool itself during your collection, there's of course help integrated in the workbench, as you can see above, and you have also some content help. But what happens when you have further questions to the procedure at all? Of course, you could write me an email, but on the other hand, you can also first have a look at the following slides. Joseph, please move to slide 17. Here we have a tutorial on how to collect and send data, which is our education assistant. And then we have our IBM support portal for the support assistant with several information on download, usage, troubleshooting, etc. And then we, of course, have also our IBM support assistant forum, where you just can place the question or search for answers to your problem. So now I finished my introduction on how data collection is done on the IBM Support Assistant Workbench, and would like to pass over to Gregor on how to collect data with the IBM Support Assistant Lite.
Okay, thank you, Susanna. Joseph, could you please move on to slide 18? So my name is Gregor Sikorski, and I'd like to introduce to you the problem data collection using ISO Lite. Joseph, please move to slide 19. Thank you. First of all, let's take a brief look at the agenda of the slides that I'm going to present to you. The first thing I would like to do is give you a short overview of what the tool Isolite actually represents. Isolite may sound like a light version of IBM Support Assistant, but we'll see very soon that it's quite different and that there are more things about it than just a reduced functionality. I will talk about the places where you can find and download Isolite, and also about the way it is used and what you should know about the things that are required to in order to beneficially deploy Isolite in your environment. We'll take a look at the output generated by Isolite. What do we get, and what would be the next steps once we have the output generated by Isolite? I'll try to point out the key advantages of Isolite, especially in comparison with other methods of collecting problem data, like the manual approach that many customers still use, but you'll see that it's more beneficial to deploy Isolite in this regard. And finally, after this, I'll give you a brief walkthrough so that you can see how it works, not only in theory, but in practice. Joseph, could you please move on to slide 20? Isolite, what is it? If you take a look at the name, you could think that Isolite is just a part of ISO Workbench, or that it's a kind of ISO Workbench with a reduced functionality, but not the case. In fact, Isolite is a small standalone tool based on Java, which can be run or used independently from ISO Workbench. There are several individual Isolite versions available. They're available not only for a certain product, but for many IBM products across all brands that you know, like WebSphere, Tivoli, and so on. The single purpose of Isolite is collecting data, which means collecting diagnostic files for problems that you encounter when using IBM products. So you use it for problem analysis, and you'll see that it's pretty simple to use and that the usage of Isolite is straightforward. So you don't need a lot of experience, and you don't need to ask your administrators or your system administrators to use Isolite, because everyone can do it. Joseph, could you please move to slide 21? Thanks. We should also take a brief look at what you should not expect from Isolite. Isolite does not offer a wide range of features like the ISO Workbench. That's not what it's intended for. Isolite does not help with the problem analysis itself. You need to deploy other tools for that purpose, like the ones that are offered within ISO Workbench. I think Susanna mentioned this. The concept of Isolite may sound familiar to some of you who have already worked with the WebSphere application server collector tool, but it's important to point out that Isolite is not equal to that collector tool. One major difference is that the collector tool of application server generates a jar file, which contains a very special set of files that are product-specific, whereas Isolite produces exactly those diagnostic collects exactly those diagnostic files that you need in order to track down the problem for a certain software product in use. Joseph, please move on to slide 22. The question now is, how can you get hold of Isolite? And there are actually different ways to obtain the tool. The first approach would be to take a look at the IBM support homepage for IBM Support Assistant. There are various download links for a larger number of Isolite packages that are specific to a certain IBM software product like WebSphere Process Server, WebSphere Portal, and also for other brands. As you can imagine, the list for which those packages are available is not that long. I mean, there are many out there, but the list is not complete. And for all the other products that you might be interested in, you have to choose a second approach, and that would necessitate using either Workbench. And there you have this special feature, the product add-ons, which I'll show you later on in the walkthrough. And you need to take some steps in order to export Isolite packages from within the ISO Workbench. It's not that difficult, as you will see later on. And the Isolite versions, the product-specific versions for tools that do not offer a direct download from the support home pages, can be built based on the product add-ons. Joseph, please move to slide 23. Now let's take a look at the prerequisites and the things you have to know before you start. First, it's very important that you have a Java runtime environment in place, 1.4 or higher, before you install Isolite in your environment. And you should also make sure that the Java home variable is set appropriately. If you do not do this, you may run into some minor problems when attempting to launch Isolite. Once Isolite is launched or started, the tool is largely automated, and it offers a lot of interaction via dialog boxes that request input from the user. It's still easy to use, and if you rely upon the information given by IBM support up front, I mean, usually for problems, you have a problem management record, a PMR, and IBM support asks you to deliver a certain piece of information, and especially when we talk about traces and tracing, the information given by IBM support can be fed into Isolite, and that will deliver exactly the results that are required in order to track down the problem further. One thing I should mention in addition is that you need for most products that I've seen so far, you need administrative access to your servers, because Isolite can also restart your servers remotely in case that is desired for the tracing. Joseph, please move on to slide 24. When you've finished working with Isolite and all the processing is done and you've received a success message at the end of the processing, it's time to look for the output that Isolite generated. You should find a zip file, and that zip file can either be stored locally on the machine on which you've run Isolite, or you can decide to send it directly via HTTP or FTP to IBM support. That's an option that is offered within Isolite, and you can choose to use this option. However, in some cases, this might just not be possible because of some restrictions that you have on your production machines. Well, if you decide to send the output of Isolite, the zip file, to IBM support, the further data analysis is done by them. However, you could also choose to perform a first review yourself. There are various auxiliary tools available for different kinds of problems, like Tivoli Log Analyzer or the Heap Dump Analyzer and Java Core Examination Tools. Those tools are available from within ISO Workbench, and you can easily deploy them to further inspect the contents of the SIP file generated by ISO Lite. Joseph, please move on to slide 25. So what are the main advantages of using ISO Lite? Of course, it's first of all the size of ISO Lite and the fact that it's not very complex. It may sound a little absurd, but the fact that it offers only a limited functionality is really beneficial here, because it allows an easy handling even for less experienced users. We should mention the fact that, a wide range of IBM software products is covered by ISO Lite, so you will be able to collect diagnostic files for problems with virtually any software product out there. It's less error-prone than any manual data collection. You can be sure that the data generated by ISO Lite is complete. And, of course, using such a guided collection tool is less tedious than any manual approach. After all, you can say ISO Lite speeds up the entire process of gathering problem data, and this also shortens the time you have to invest before you get any solution for your problem. Please, let's move on to slide 26. So in summary, we can say ISO Lite is a small, flexible tool. It can easily be installed on various platforms because of its Java base, and it should be the tool of choice for any problem data collection that you intend to do for virtually all relevant IBM software products that you know about. ISO Lite generates consistent, reliable results, better than any manual data collection, and it's absolutely recommended by IBM support. If you want any additional functionality, you should consider using ISO Workbench. ISO Workbench offers appropriate tools for the problem analysis, which should be the next step after the problem data collection with ISO Lite. So that's pretty much all I can say here for the theoretical part. We'll move on now with a walkthrough that I talked about. Joseph, could you please move on to slide 27? As mentioned before, your starting point should be the ISO support homepage. There you'll find a downloads section and also a paragraph on ISO Lite. And if you take a look at the screenshot here, you can there select a brand. And if you select the brand, you can then select a certain product below that brand and get a direct download link for that product. And this will lead you to the download for the ISO Lite package that is specific to that product. If you can read the text here in the screenshot, you will also see that there's a hint at the possibility to export ISO Lite collectors from ISO Workbench, as mentioned before. Joseph, please move to slide 28. When you attempt to directly download, or when you decide to directly download an ISO Lite collector from the support homepage, you will have to register yourself. This is a global registration page. Most of you will already know it. It's used for any downloads from externally available IBM websites. And once you're authenticated, the download link will be made available instantly. Joseph, please go to slide 29. Well, what can you do if the ISO Lite package for your software product and version is not available? In that case, please use ISO Workbench. If you open ISO Workbench, go to the third option that is offered on the entry page, which says Collect and Send Data. And there you'll find the screen on the right side here in the screenshot, which leads you to remote collection using IBM Support Assistant Lite. That's the red arrow on the left side on the right screenshot. And if you click on that, you can select a collection from the drop-down list on the right side. But that list is certainly not complete at the beginning, so you'll have to update it. And that is done using the Update menu at the top of the ISO Workbench window. Click on Update, then on Find New and Product Add-ons, and you'll be offered a full list of products that are available. Select the products that you are interested in, confirm your selection, and then an update will be executed. This will probably take a few minutes. And once this is done, the selection list on the right side, the drop-down list, will get considerably longer. And then you can select the products that you're interested in and specify a target directory for the export and actually export isolate packages, collector packages, for the product that you're interested in. And this will give you exactly the same packages as those that can be directly downloaded from the support homepages. Okay, Joseph, would you please move on to slide 30? Once you've downloaded a package or exported it from either Workbench, the next step would be to transfer that package to your system from which you would like to gather the data. On that system, just simply extract the zip file, and then you can take a brief look at the contents. You will notice that there are several executables in that file. You will find a batch for Windows and also a shell script for Unix, which is why you can run it on all those platforms. After you've made sure that an appropriate Java runtime environment is in place, you can launch Isolite using the corresponding executable. Joseph, please move to slide 31. When Isolite is launched, for Windows, you will get a small window that displays the settings that are active for Isolite. As mentioned before, the Java home variable plays an important role here. You should make sure that it points to the Java runtime environment that you wish to use. On the right side here, you in the screenshot, you see the main window of Isolite, where the actual processing is done. The first panel, or the panel at the top, offers several data collection options. You can select product, and below the product, a certain problem type. For example, if you have a PMR that concerns a business object problem, you would select or highlight here business object problem. It's just as easy as that. And then the rest is done by Isolite. The second panel, or actually it's not really a panel, but just a small input box, asks you to specify the output file name for the zip file that is generated by Isolite. You should specify the path and the file name. And the third panel further below, which is cut off here, will later on display the progress of the Isolite processing. So that generates some interesting output, which will allow you to monitor the work that is done by Isolite. And once you've configured everything, you can start the data collection using the Collect Data button that is in the middle of the window. Joseph, please move to slide 32. As mentioned before, users of Isolite will be asked for input using a series of dialog boxes that pop up. And by means of those dialog boxes, users are given guidance through the data collection process. Here in this sample that I would like to show you, I chose WebSphere Process Server. The dialog boxes that you're offered may slightly differ for other products, though. So here at the top, the first dialog box asks for the application server root directory. You just have to type in or browse correct path. Then the next box will ask you for administrative logon credentials. I mentioned that as well. You have to have administrative access to your server, just because, as you will see in the third dialog box on the right side, Isolite actually offers you the option to either enable tracing at runtime or after a server restart, and that restart can be performed by Isolite. As you can imagine, this cannot be done if you're not a server administrator. Please move to slide 33. Thanks. So what's next? The next step would be to set an appropriate trace string. Actually, when you decided upon a certain problem type on the very first, on the initial panel, the trace string was predefined according to the problem type. So for a business object problem, you get a certain trace string, which is always the same. But that trace string can be extended if more specific tracing is required. So here in the dialog box at the top, you just have to select yes instead of no, and then you get another input box where you can extend the trace string that is in place. The next dialog that you will be offered just asks you whether you would like to change the trace file size to certain values. This is just to make sure that you have appropriate values in place, because for certain criteria, the trace files may get very large, and therefore you should have made sure that the size is set appropriately. The next, and this is the third screenshot here, the next box is very important. Don't just click OK here, because it says, please recreate the problem. Once done, please click OK to continue, which means the time has come to reproduce the problem now, and you're asked to not click OK until the reproduction has finished. Joseph, please move to slide 34. So the problem reproduction may take some time, depending on the problem, but once you're done with it, the diagnostic files are collected from the machine on which you run Isolite, and that will also take some time. You just have to confirm this using the dialog at the top here. You will also be asked whether you would like to include a PI file, a project interchange file, with the SIP generated by Isolite. This is optional. It's up to you, or maybe IBM support asks you for a PI file, so you can do this here. And also the third option is up to you. You can deliver immediate feedback and tell IBM whether or not you were satisfied with what you've experienced doing the data collection using IBM Support Assistant. On the left side here, the fourth screenshot, I've put one more of the main window of Isolite. It's important to say that this main window always remains active, and you will always see it in the background, so you can monitor the progress of the entire processing. You will see a percentage which allows you to tell how long it will approximately take to finish your task, And you can also watch the output in the lower panel, which will tell you what exactly is done at the very moment in which you look at this panel by Isolite. Joseph, please move to slide 35. Once your data collection is complete, you're offered the option to transfer, to directly transfer your data to IBM support. You can do this using HTTP or FTP. Here in the screenshot, I chose to not transfer the logs because I think in many cases this is just the way you would like to do it. If you choose not to transfer the logs, the zip file generated by Isolite will just be stored locally on your machine and you can use it as you wish afterwards. Finally, the last dialog box that you will pop up is just an informational message which actually asks to try ISO Workbench for additional features and which also points out that IBM Support Assistance, the full version, allows you to go even further with a problem determination process. Well, after that final dialog box, the processing is done, and you can then close the Isolite window. You should verify then that the zip file has successfully been generated by Isolite. And you can also examine the zip file contents. If you haven't yet forwarded the information to IBM support, you can do it with that zip file now, and then IBM support can start analyzing the contents of the zip file. But you could also decide to do it yourself. I mean, as mentioned, there are many auxiliary tools like Tivoli Log Analyzer, and they allow you to dig deeper into the problem yourself, which can be very efficient in many cases. Joseph, please move to slide 36. Actually, that was pretty much all I can say about the walkthrough. As you've seen, it's pretty straightforward. It's pretty hard to make any mistakes using Isolite. And I think it's really worth a try if you haven't used it before. Here on page 36, I've just listed a collection of some useful links with additional information for your convenience. I'd like to point out that there are some best practices which will help you deepen your skills with Isolite. There is also a full list of product add-ons that are currently available for ISA, which is very important if you are unsure about the support of ISA for your product or the product that you are using. And last but not least, there's an interesting Developer Works article on how to take the first steps in the problem determination process and also about what tool should be used in that context. That's all from my side on Isolite. I thank you for your time, and I say back to Joseph.
Thank you, Susan and Gregor, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Angela, we would like to open the line for questions.
First question comes from Herman Hubler.
Hello, thanks for your presentation. Actually, there are some questions left for me related to IBM Support Assistant. First of all, as far as I know, IBM Support Assistant is only available for 32-bit clients and not for 64-bit clients. Do you know, are there any plans to provide a 64-bit version of IBM Support Assistant? Actually, the reason I'm asking is because more and more customers are moving to 64-bit JVMs and using a 32-bit tooling, you can hardly analyze any heap dumps, etc.
Are you talking about Isolite or
actually, I'm talking about ISA Workbench.
ISA Workbench
with the integrated toolings, because in the tools you have heap analyzers, you have GC analyzers, you have any kind of analyzers, yeah. But with heap dumps, more and more there's the problem that you simply cannot analyze them because a 32-bit application doesn't provide enough heap to analyze a 5-gigabyte heap from a 64-bit application server.
Thank you very much for your question. I would like to contact, it would be great if you could send me an email on this. Then I will try to find out the strategy on your request. Would this be fine for you?
This is fine for me. Thank you very much. I will
set
a reminder and contact you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
One more question, actually, what I'm not quite sure about. Actually, I didn't see it in the presentation or in the walkthrough. I hope I didn't miss it. But you just specified the VAS root directory. So if I'm running multiple application servers or even multiple profiles for one application server and I want to collect data for one specific server, how do I specify the server? Is this possible?
For Isolite, you have to install the Isolite package on the server for which you would like to collect the data.
Yeah, sure, but I the package
you mean the profile.
But I have multiple application server installations and multiple profiles per installation.
Yeah, you have to gather the data then for the server on which the physical server on which it is running, and then you have to examine the data based on that.
But, for example, if I use the website data collector and enable some tracing, does it make use to enable tracing on all application servers? Because I just want to enable VAS tracing for one specific application server.
I'm not sure whether I understand your question correctly, but...
Well, I think it's fairly easy. I've installed VAS once. Then I created the permanent manager profile and the managed profile.
Right.
On the managed profile, I'm running 10 different JVMs, so application servers. Server 1 to 10. And I want to trace server 8 only. I only want to enable VAS tracing and collect the data for server 8 only, because server 1 to 7 and 8, 9 are running totally different applications where I don't see any problems. Can this be done?
Yes, as far as I know, there is a like you can also select the directory for the application server you want to collect the files from.
Okay, well, the directory is fine, but what about tracing? If I added the WebSphere data collector for, let's say, EGPs, I have an EGP problem on server 8 only. So I have to enable the WebSphere data collector for EGPs. Yeah, but I only want to collect the data for server 8. Can this be done, or does it enable the EGP tracing on all application servers?
For that tool, will always collect the data for the physical servers, at least for those profiles that are delimited by a certain path in the file system.
Okay, so my scenario
based on the profile that is defined.
So this means in my case, it would enable the EGP tracing on all 10 application servers.
I think we should discuss this offline. I mean, that will probably take too long to figure this out right now. Could you please just send me a brief email or copy me on the email to Susanne, and then I'll gladly get in touch with you, and we can discuss this further.
Okay, I'd appreciate it. Thank you very much. And, well, that would be for me with my question. Thank you very much.
Okay, there are no further questions at this time.
Thank you, Angela. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.